All right, ready to go. Uprise all day, every day. You know how I feel about that. We need some uprise, Simon. So I'm just letting you know at the top of this show, I need my uprise. Simon muted himself.
He muted himself.
Yeah.
Did he mute you, though? It's the big question.
Oh, he might have like a back channel line.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. If this is
even real. OSI. OSI. I got something for you.
Is that what OSI spells? Is that what
OSI.
That's what it stands for?
That's my, you know what OSI is?
No, explain it to me, please.
I'm explaining to you. It's my agency.
Okay.
Okay, it's my counselor.
Okay.
And it's my lawyer.
Oh, okay, all of that.
OSI,
all of
the above. Yeah. If you first ever
of
heard
all,
of it.
First of all, why are you looking so handsome? I don't like, I'm not sure I like the way you're looking right now, man. You're looking good, Jay Bell. Like, what is this? What is
it's
this?
Called, what's supposed to be looking you know bad what it's right called? Now? It's tell called me. Starvation.
Is that what it
I don't
is?
Cook well. Yeah, I don't cook well. So slow starvation.
Slow starvation. I hear you, man. You got your hair cut. There's no way you cut your own hair. So somebody isn't practicing social distancing. Somebody isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
You just called me out on that.
No way you cut your own hair to look like that. It's not possible. So explain to me what it is you're doing.
So you just called me out because that's I don't even want to talk about my haircut, right? I just shaved it up on the sides. That's all.
No, you didn't do that yourself. Not you. No possible way.
Hey man, that's dirty, man. You called me out, man. It's my hair grows slowly.
Okay. I'll accept that.
You'll take that?
Yeah, I'll take it.
There's a song I was thinking of. Do you know this song? I'm so excited. And I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control and I think I like it. You know that song, right?
I know the song very well, but I'm not sure where this is going right now.
I was playing that song because I knew we had a podcast coming up.
Oh, my God.
I was bumping that song, Pointer Sisters, loud, like I had a game or something.
This podcast is so necessary. Everything's so necessary right now, J. Bell. This is crazy. What's the deal, man?
Man, everything's good, man. You know, I mean, as good as it can be. It's a situation where, you know, we're all in the same boat, you know.
Yeah.
Figuratively speaking, there's different parts of the boat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We can talk about that later, actually.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
There are much different parts of the boat. We're on the boat together, but it's some fascinating things happening in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Drafts coming up. Somebody just got a big check.
Big
payday. Mm. And there's something else that happened that was kind of trending within our group of friends and other people we know that I want to discuss with you.
Okay. Let's see what you got going on.
Yeah. First, I want to throw out this stuff. There's a guy you interviewed, had a great interview.
Mm-hmm.
I played against his dad. His dad dominated me. I didn't like that. And that's Christian McCaffrey.
CMC. Run CMC, right?
Run CMC. Came out here, balled out, had a great game here in London.
Mm-hmm.
And he just got the big check. $64 million four-year deal, 16 per year. Highest running back in history.
Wow.
And this is a conversation that our listeners, people are always talking about devaluing the position, right? Mm-hmm. Running backs aren't supposed to be paid like they were they used to be, you know.
Yeah.
The last big one was Adrian Peterson, correct? He was like the big one. What do you think about that?
I think there has been a resurgence in, you know, high-paid running backs. As of late, you saw that with, was it Todd Gurley and then Ezekiel Elliott and now with Christian McCaffrey. But I just don't know, man. I just don't know. Now, I'll never be opposed to seeing a player getting paid, especially Christian McCaffrey, man. That's a solid individual, great guy. His father, believe it or not, was one of my favorite players growing up, Easy Ed McCaffrey. If you don't know who that is, go look up Easy Ed McCaffrey.
Man.
A flat-out baller.
He was a baller.
I'm a big fan of the whole family. I just don't know about paying running backs that kind of coin. But to label him, this guy specifically, as just a running back would be doing him a disservice because he does so many other things. Great receiver, out of the backfield. He's a good blocker. He runs the ball very well. But I don't know when the last time we saw a running back get paid a tremendous amount of money and go forth to have continued success. It's been a while since we've seen that. We saw what happened with Gurley. We saw what happened with Elliott. Not saying he had a bad season, but did he have the type of season that you would expect after paying him that kind of money?
Right.
Probably not. So I just I'm not a big fan of paying running backs that kind of money, man. Same on defense with me. I'm not a fan of paying linebackers that kind of money. I feel like you pay your DBs, and I feel like you pay your D-line. The linebackers, okay. Yeah. And for me, as far as offense is concerned, you have to pay your offensive linemen. You have to pay your receiver. You have to pay your quarterbacks. Because if you have a really good offensive line, anybody can get back there and rush for a bunch of yards. That is just my view on that. I'm happy this man got paid. I hope he continues to get paid. I hope they pay all the running backs in the world. As a general manager, would I do it? Absolutely not, J-Bell. You're not getting that money out of my pocket. No running backs.
Okay. Now, that's the consensus. I think a lot of people would agree with what you're saying. So I looked at it from this standpoint. As a slot receiver, he'd be one of the best in the leagues. But how we always think, we go to the next level, right? So I started thinking, new owner, David Tepper, known for his analytical analysis on Wall Street, right? Mm-hmm. He's an analytics guy. He's known for this. This is his first kind of year to put his stamp on the team. So you don't have Cam, so you got to get your new identity, right?
Why don't you have Cam?
Cam's gone.
Yeah, why? Just got rid of him, huh?
He's starting over.
Right.
Right? And Cam was the culture in that locker room. I'm not saying one way or another, but his personality dominated that team. Would you agree?
100%.
Okay. So now Tepper's putting his stamp on it. New coach, all that. What I'm saying is this. When you look at McCaffrey, is this the new way of analytically breaking down running backs? This is what the guy's known for. This is your owner. So when he has to cut this check, has he broken down something about the running back position where he's like, yeah, this is what you guys are thinking, but I've always been a disruptor on Wall Street, and this is how I value it using the analytics?
I think out of everything you said, a light bulb just went off in my head. It did. I'm serious. I think a light bulb just went off in my head. And I'm not sure it's to do with analytics. From what you just said, I think this is a new owner, yeah. And he, like you said, Cam was the guy. It was this was what the Carolina Panthers were all about, right?
And Keekly, but you know, and go Keekly, on.
Yeah. Not so much Keekly. Cam.
Yeah, Keekly it was Cam, but Keekly,
as far as like players, Keekly 100%, 100%. He was a better player than Cam Newton. To be honest,
yeah,
at the linebacker position he was.
Yeah,
but
he was.
The face of the franchise was Cam Newton. And now, new owner, this guy is basically saying, this is now the face of our franchise. This is what we want the direction to be. This is who the Carolina Panthers are, and we're going to pay him as such, if you understand what I mean. From that standpoint, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
it makes perfect sense, because if you're looking for somebody who you would want to present as the face of your franchise, wouldn't it be a guy like Christian McCaffrey? He's a fundamentally good person, intelligent, fantastic football player, you know, polite, you know, really smart, everything you would want from a football player. As a leader, you would want to put forth somebody like Christian McCaffrey. Why wouldn't you do that? I agree. Makes sense.
And you want to pay the guys that work hard, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I hate always saying this about you, and I'm not just saying it because you're my guy, but it's, I mean, as one of the highest paid players on the team, you worked harder than everybody.
Yeah.
So when when you went to the Giants and you went and put your argument forth, they got to look at you when they're back there debating it, and they're saying, hey, this kind of guy, if we reward him, we show the rest of our team, if you work hard, you can get this too.
Yeah.
And that's important, because as players, you know, we see what teams do. You cannot fool us by your decisions. Yeah. As a coach, as a GM, as an owner, we look at how you reward players and we're like, don't try to fool us. This is what you really care about. So yeah. I think they are, and Tepper is showing that organization what he perceives as a star player that he's going to reward.
You know, that hard work thing, that thing, that stuff follows you, you know?
Yes, it does.
It follows you. We talk about the time I spent with the Atlanta Falcons. We've talked about that before. Spent 2 years, two seasons with the Atlanta Falcons. Ended up having only 10 sacks in those two seasons.
Right? Only.
I mean.
For you, yeah, but come on.
Yeah, only 10 sacks in those two seasons. But if you go within that locker room, and you speak with the general manager or you speak with the coaches who are there, you know, the level of respect that they have, right? The level of respect that they have comes not from the production I had when I was there. It comes from just the sheer amount of hard work that they saw me do. So whether or not I performed to the level of their expectations or any of that, at least for them, they were like, at least I saw him busting his ass to try. You understand what I mean?
Exactly.
And even till this day, like, they still have a tremendous amount of respect. And I think it all boils down to more so the hard work than it was the actual, because we sucked as a team. We didn't do nothing. I didn't really perform to my grade, but I was trying. You understand? I was literally trying my hardest, Jay Bell. I was out there grinding. Remember what that guy said when he saw us?
Yeah.
The safety. Ricardo?
Yep,
yeah.
Ricardo Allen.
Try. And I think that stuff, it literally follows you, man. And for Christian McCaffrey, the fact that he's such a hard worker, they rewarded him for that, man. You know, I think it's a good thing.
And I think we've talked about this before, about how you have to – we've talked about him and his evolution. And I want to say the statement about Cam. I just remember this interview he had where he talked about Cam bringing the love of the game back to him. Yeah. Yeah. And as a guy who now has gotten the big contract, he's the guy. If you're the guy on any team, your attitude towards the game is what is the identity. It's going to shape the identity of the team, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't love it when it's hard and you make it too much of a grind, mm-hmm. I mean, that's you got to have balance.
Yeah.
I mean, Belichick makes it a grind for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. But those players got their own way of handling things and making it fun and finding ways for it to be an exciting game. And I just think that's, you know, kudos to Cam Newton for doing that to Christian, because his legacy will be on that team through Christian McCaffrey. Mm. I think so.
I don't think the Patriots have any fun at all.
You know what I saw?
The players hate me.
I saw this one time. It was D lineman Chandler Jones. Yeah. It was an old film, mm-hmm. and I think they were filming Belichick talking to somebody, and he's in the back, and he does a backflip off of the blocking sled.
No
way. Just out of just flips, you know. Right. He doesn't see anybody looking. And it's just those kind of things that where, you know, when you're under pressure, you still got your little side jokes and all
But is he still there?
No, he's not.
Like, oh, that guy's doing backflips. He's having fun.
Oh, he's having
Get
fun.
Him out of here. We can't have no fun.
You stole my whole. Pieces.
But it's true. I feel like I would be going to work in the Patriots with just a frown, on my face. Like, oh my God, I can't believe. Oh, I'm gonna win though. I'm gonna win some games.
Oh man, this is gonna be fascinating.
Incredible.
Hey, something happened. So I'm looking a couple of our buddies we played with. I'm seeing them comment. On there was a game replayed last week. It was the 2008 Super Bowl replayed on television. Yeah. One of those networks.
Yeah.
And everybody's talking about it. You know, Strahan was watching it. And he said it was his first time watching the game ever since he played it.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, you know, Antonio. See, friends of the show, you know, they're watching it. It's important.
They're winners.
They are winners.
You're a winner, yeah.
Yep.
You listen to the podcast, Pierce, you're a winner.
Yeah, you're a winner. Yeah. Anybody who listens to the podcast is a winner. So checking that out. And I come across this article. Come across this article. And it says, the highest rated player in Super Bowl in 2008. What Super Bowl number was that?
That was the first Super Bowl that we won.
No, but what number?
XL2, 42.
42. 42.
XL2, 42.
Yeah, so 42. Highest rated player, not who you think it is. Da, da, da. I dive into it. Guess whose picture's on it?
Who's?
Number 72.
Oh, my gosh.
OSI. You are the highest rated player in the Super Bowl. Pro Football Focus, who does the rating and all that kind of stuff, got to give them credit. They went back, broke that down, and they said you are the highest rated player, followed up closely. Number two, your boy, our boy, Michael Strahan.
Michael Strahan.
Very close to you.
For once, I beat him. For once, I was better than him.
You beat him, and your rating versus stopping the run was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, you're known for going after the quarterback, but you played the run at a high level.
Right.
Most high-rated player, Super Bowl 42, our own OC. How do you feel about this? You didn't even know this.
Oh, I didn't. I did not know that. I didn't know that. And to be honest with you, like, during the game, I knew I was playing well. You know, and after the game, I felt really good. We won, but I didn't really know how well I played. Like I didn't. You know, I had no clue.
Yeah, you're playing.
Yeah, I'm just playing. So maybe a year after the game, I don't know if you know a guy named Pat Hamlin. He's the VP of Giants Communication. He's very high up in the Giants.
I do know the name. Yeah.
So I'm standing outside, and Pat comes to me. This is like a year after the game, and he's like, "Man, if you weren't on that team, I don't know if we win that game." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He was like, "If you didn't play the way you played, I don't know if we win that game." And I was like, because at this point, I still hadn't watched the game. So I didn't know what he was talking about. I was like, okay. So I went back and I watched it, and I was like, God. Hey, man. I was so hungry, Jason. I was so hungry. I don't think I've ever played a game with that kind of intensity before. Like, bro, I was straining everything in my body to get to this guy. Like, every muscle fiber, everything in my body, I was straining. You could see I was like, I was reaching out trying to clobber this guy. And you know, it's hard to explain because, you know, it was so long ago, but just the overall feeling of, you know, winning a game of that magnitude, you know what I mean, and playing on that level. And then, you know, I think when people were watching the game, they didn't really realize it. But I think when people go back and watch the game, they're like, man, because even Tuck, Strahan, all of them, they were like, oh, see, I had no clue you performed like that. Like, nobody knew until you go back and rewatch the game. So I'm surprised I was the highest rated player.
Highest.
I did know I played pretty well, and that's only based on what people, you know, were saying to me after the game. It was crazy. Crazy.
And that says a lot that Strahan was number two. So that's why they talk about that defensive line. Tuck was up there high, Justin Tuck. So that tells you why you guys got the glory that you did, because you won that game. Yeah.
And against the run also, I think the reason why I played so well against the run is, you know, obviously Strahan was known for being like a very physical run defender. Me, I was a speed rusher, you know, getting after the quarterback. You know, didn't really care too much about the run. But, you know, the New England Patriots, I think early in the game, had decided that they were going to run the ball away from Stray, and they were going to run the ball directly at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, if you want to make it this kind of party.
I'm here. I'm
okay with that. Don't think for 1 second you're just going to line the ball, just run the ball down my throat. It's just not going to happen. So if you want to do this, we can do it this way or we can do it the other way. I'm okay either way.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. And so I think the guy might have had like 11 rushes for 16 yards, ran the ball 10 times at me, and I was just, J-Bell, blowing everything up on that side. There was nothing going down on that side of the football field. And so now they had to throw the ball, and we were rushing. They didn't really stand no chance, to be honest. They stood no chance in that game.
You said something that made me think about a scenario that teams are faced with now. Mm. We have the draft coming up. Everybody's going to watch it, right, because it's going to be on TV. But a big problem teams were having is not being able to meet with the players.
Yeah.
Not being able to have those one-on-one meetings. They've done it virtually, but – before they had the player in front of them, they were used to that interaction. Mm-hmm. And you just said something to me that makes a lot of sense. You attacked the pass. You were a ferocious pass rusher. But like you said, the run wasn't your thing all the time. Mm-hmm. But when the lights were on, it was the biggest game. I mean, you stood up to the challenge. And that's mm-hmm. what you want out of your great players. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think, when you're going through this draft process, teams should look for in players to understand? Now, these are great players we're talking about, especially the ones going in the first couple rounds. What do they say to them? How do you know you got a guy that's going, when the stage gets bigger, his light will shine brighter? What do you – because it's a personality thing.
Yeah, you don't. You don't know. You're not going to know. And there's literally no way you can do that. I'm talking about given this current climate that we're in, this current situation that we're in, you have to be around somebody and you have to look him in the eye when you're having this conversation and see how, because you can be having conversations with somebody, J-Bell, you look at them in the eye and you're like, this guy actually means what he's saying.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And then you could look in somebody's eyes and you're like, yeah, this guy's just talking. He's just talking to talk, you know?
Yes.
So unless you're around these people, unless you're, you know, For me, the Giants brought me in. I was the last visit, you know, and I sat down with the defensive line coach. He was asking me some questions, and afterwards he was like, man, that was very, very impressive, man. I'm going to put in a word with these guys about drafting you. This is what the D-line coach told me. And if I wouldn't have been brought in, and if he wouldn't have seen me face-to-face and had these conversations, there's no real way you could know that the type of personality you're getting. You could turn on the tape and see somebody flying around and, you know, making plays, and, you know, that's a big part of it. But unless you bring them in and have these conversations, learn about their character, learn what makes these people tick, you never know. I mean, you never know if this guy's going to stand up under pressure. Mm. The team's going to run the ball in front of 100 million people directly at him. And what is he going to do in that given situation? Right, you don't know. You know, all you can just guess. A lot of people are going to miss out on that.
I agree. Being around great players, though, and all of your years and knowing them personally. Mm-hmm. If you were a GM though, like, what would you do? What would you say? Because this, you have insider information.
Yeah.
We enjoy really understanding people's situations, like figuring things out. If you were that guy for a team, what kind of conversations would you have to kind of get as much info as you can to make that decision?
Yeah, well, you have to ask them those questions. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
You bring him in, you're like, you know, put him in different scenarios, put him in different situations. Ask them very, very uncomfortable questions just to see how they respond. Mm. You know, just to see how they respond. Is this guy going to, you know, go crazy, you know, because I asked him this type of question? I mean, as bad as it sounds, football is there's no, it's not a comfortable sport.
No.
Not golf.
No.
You understand?
Yeah.
You're going to be put in a situation that is highly uncomfortable for you, period. Training camp is uncomfortable. Those games when, you know, 18-play drive, they're running the ball down your throat, you're tired, they've sent Randy Moss on 1,000 go routes and you just got to keep running it. If you're not if you're not mentally equipped to deal with that,
it'll break you. It'll break you.
And so you just have to put them in as many uncomfortable, ask them crazy questions, uncomfortable questions, see how they respond, not to really needle them, but just to see how, you know, see if they can think quickly, see if they can respond, you know, in a heartbeat. Because as tired as you are out there, and I'm talking about you're dead tired, you still have to think.
Yes.
you still have to be able to think at a very high level. They're calling all these complicated plays. You're out there, you can't breathe. You better execute your play. You better execute your responsibility. Because if you don't, you've messed everybody up. And so you have to do that, man. And I just feel like it's going to be really tough for them to properly evaluate these players coming out of college right now the way they were able to before.
I agree with that. Because, you know, in a game situation, especially big games, it's chaotic, right?
Yeah.
And you want somebody who can think out of the box. You don't want robots.
Yeah.
In our and what we're dealing with now and all of our leaders, we want someone, we know this is hard. Think out of the box, you know, don't be a robot, you know, be creative, be an innovator. We need you now, you know, and that's how they look at when you're a player on the field. The coach is putting you out there and you got your play, but the guys that are elite are ones that can think on their feet under pressure in uncomfortable situations. So I just I totally agree. This is what the draft process is doing. You've seen the film, you know they have elite talent, but it's who they are and finding ways to have conversations, like you said, to put them in situations where you can see how they react. It's not what they say, but kind of how they say it, what you mean. Yeah, I agree with that. And that's why this draft process, that's why we are enamored with it. That's why everybody's all over, because there's a lot you can learn out of this. Because in a couple years, we'll see who had it figured out and was able to break all this down. I mean, we really can see the results pretty soon.
Yeah. You know, I saw a new study that says, this is a complete change in subject, but
good.
I saw this new study that says that the coronavirus travels 13 feet.
Oh, geez.
In the air, in front of you. 13 feet, J-Bell. So all this social distancing and all this stuff that they're talking about, 13 feet in front of the person, like, is this the new normal? I'm trying to wrap my head around where, as humans, as a world, where do we go from here? Like, what is the, because even if there's a vaccine, I have to be honest with you, J-Bell, even if there is a vaccine, like they say right now, if they come out right now and say we have a vaccine, I think I'm still going to wait like a year or two before I even start, you know, thinking about giving my kids this or myself this vaccination, because there's just no possible way this could have been tested accurately. It's just not possible in this shorter period of time. So, you know, I know we have to get back to work. The economy has to keep moving. And, man, so many people are struggling. I mean, like, beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
Struggling, right?
It's big time.
What do we do? Like, who has any answers? How do we move forward? Like, I feel like part of our responsibility, honestly, is to try and provide some sort of, you know, help or relief or anything we can to, you know, take people's minds off of the craziness that's going on. But man, I just don't know what the way out is, man.
Yeah, I totally feel you on that. And that sparked two things in my brain, and I'll address the first one. And it's just, I think in this time of uncertainty, things will not be the same. We will find new social norms on how we deal with things because of this epidemic. I will say that misinformation needs to be called out from now on, because as now we see, misinformation is affecting lives.
Yeah,
this isn't a joke.
Yeah.
You know, all these sound bites, all these quick hits, all this stuff you just throw out there and then people run with it, and we find out that this is not true. This has impacted people. People have died because of that. And I hope as human beings in general, we need to start to really evaluate who the information givers are.
Yeah.
And make them accountable for this. Because now, as we elect leaders in the countries that can do that, this needs to be at the forefront of who they are. No mm-hmm. more of this mess.
Mm-hmm.
You need to tell us the truth at all times, because I've seen this in the US more than anywhere. I've paid attention to that. Misinformation not only is hurt people, but the mistrust.
Yeah.
In a time where we need to trust and need to be together, isn't there, because it started with misinformation.
Yeah.
All I have as a single human being is my voice and my power to vote.
Yeah.
And I think that it's, as individuals, we need to take the due diligence to make sure we understand exactly what's happening in this situation and others, and make sure we keep our leaders accountable
mm-hmm.
to tell the truth, man. I mean, politicians do what they do. The truth matters
mm-hmm.
when it's on the line, when it's all on the line. And you just see bending it and shift shaping and all the stuff that you see in politics. Mm-hmm. It's just harmed people. People have died because of it.
Yeah. I kept my eyes closely on the American political situation, see what's going on. First of all, we hope Boris Johnson recovers fully from the COVID-19 or the coronavirus yeah. that he has. I really do. No matter what your politics is, I don't want to go through anything
like that. And it seems like it's positive so far.
Yeah, exactly. But I've been keeping my eye on the American political situation. And when it seemed like Joe Biden was going to be the presumptive Democratic nominee, and I was watching some of his interviews and some of the things he was saying, I said in my head, Donald Trump is going to wipe the floor with this guy. That's what I said. I was like, no chance. He can't win. But as this whole situation has started to unfold in America, I'm not so sure anymore, you know? I'm not so sure anymore, Jay Bell. I think they might throw that guy out the White House, man. I think they might finally find a way to get it done. Because so far, this guy had been the Teflon Don. Nothing. You shooting bullets at him. Like Superman. It's just bouncing off of him. He's like,
man. And he felt it, too. He knew it.
Yeah, like, nah. But now, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure, man. I don't think he's going to be able to make it in November. The Democrats, man, they are fired up, man. They are not messing around anymore. They're not joking around anymore, man. They are dead serious about removing this guy from office. And they are pulling out all the stops. Now, I think you're going to see Obama come out because he's been in hiding. I think you're going to see all the Democrats rally around. And I think they might just be able to get this thing done in November, much to my surprise. But, you know, I hesitate to, because I read somewhere they were like, a stupid president, stupid people elect a stupid president. That's what I heard. That's what I read.
Mm.
But I know America. I'm like, I'm not going to call Americans. I just can't. I just can't do it. This is, to me, the greatest country. And to see what's been going on in that country, I'm looking, I see Ivanka here, Jared Kushner, the nepotism. Oh. And I'm like, America has put up with this? This isn't a fourth world country. This isn't a dictatorship. This isn't Saudi Arabia. Like, how is this going on right in front of Americans' eyes? I cannot wrap my head around what is going on in the country, JBL.
It's so crazy. I was talking to a friend of ours, and I said, imagine this. the season's going on and something chaotic happened, right? Out of your head coach's hands, okay? And he goes in those interviews to the media and starts blaming players and starts talking about the front office. Your head coach. I mean, I've never seen it before in my life. I've never seen a head coach do that, right? In any sport, you know, in front of the media. And you watch the president of the United States, and I look and I said, this guy couldn't be a coach for a peewee team. I mean, what are you, who are you fighting? Like, leaders take heat.
Yeah.
That's what leaders do. Everybody's got a problem with the guy on top. It's what it is. And you sit there and you take it because you're a leader. And regardless of your politics, your beliefs, whatever, anybody can watch that and say, at that point in time, you take it and you use all your energy, because you only got so much energy, on the important task at hand. And you see the elite, the elite coaches in every sport that they write the books about, because history always will tell the truth about that to some extent, you know. They talk about how they stood in the line of fire for their people. That's what they do. I mean, that's just what every good coach you could imagine, every good leader you've been around, you're like, man, that guy, he held me down. You know, you always talk about what he did or she did for you. That's what people remember. And I, it's just shocking. You know, you something else.
Attacking reporters.
Oh, and it's sad. Like, it's just, it's sad.
But how, Jason? How did this happen? How did this, how, not only how did this happen, how does this continue to happen? In America, I wish, Jason, you're American, you understand? So you wouldn't understand, you know what I mean? Because you're American. I wish you could see the way we used to look at America.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I can.
I wish you could see the way people used to look at America. Like, America was like the shining light. Like, it was like, It was the be all and end all. People are laughing at the United States, bro. They are laughing at Americans right now. And the only thing that makes America right now that people maybe are afraid of is maybe their military. You understand what I mean? But other than that, people are laughing at America. They're like, ah, look at your president. Get out of here. What are you talking about? That's the guy who you elected? And I just don't understand how Americans, the Americans that I know, the America that I grew up idolizing, I don't understand how they put up with this, man. It is the strangest thing to witness, bro. Strangest.
It's shocking. And I always think back, like I said, to sports, and I keep it real simple when I'm evaluating leadership. And I'm in shock. I just wouldn't follow, you know? And it's crazy. You said something earlier about this whole scenario, and something that's been kind of bothering me, but I want to ask you how you feel. I'm quite disappointed with some celebrities and their social media antics. I don't know how to go at this.
I think you should go at it the way we always go at things.
Okay. I think a lot of people see, but, you know, don't observe.
Okay.
They just see. And they don't, when you're not really observing, you don't pay attention to detail. There's a lot of different situations going on in the UK, in the US, wherever. Definitely economic differences. And a lot of celebrities and people with big platforms, you know, they get behind certain things and stay home, do this and all that. Hey, I'm into all of it. But then you see these people, and you know, every day they got something going on. They're showing their big yard, their big house. Look at me. I'm doing this. Try this. And I'm like, is there a lack of awareness? Is it that hard with the world stopping for humanity's sake?
Yeah.
You still need that light on you?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, imagine you're in a council estate. Imagine you're, you know, in the projects in the States, and you're full to the brim in there. You know, food is scarce. You know, it's hard. It's the grind. You know, I mean, I get social media is a distraction, but those with the viewership, you can engage with your fans, but be aware.
Yeah.
You know, life is hard for people.
Yeah.
Look at my social distancing. It's hard in this big old house. You know, and I'm not saying, listen, man, I got my own set of issues and problems.
Yeah.
But before I would put that out there, I would think, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, you know, keeping my diet tight and this and that, I'm cooking. Some people ain't eating.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, okay, we're not huge social media people like that. Yeah. You know, we like and talking to people on Twitter, whatever. I like posting stuff we do because I think it's funny and cool and I'm all in there. But I don't spend my day looking for stuff. It's just how I am.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything's right or wrong with that. I don't have a problem. But I just think when you have that platform, if you're going to talk to somebody and you're going to engage with your fans, you know, make it, put yourself in a place where it's not showing your whole house. I just wish people with platforms had more awareness. Also.
Yeah. J-Bell, you are 100% correct. 100%. It's embarrassing. It is reprehensible. It is almost to the point where it's disgusting, just the lack of awareness. The lack of awareness. Not only are people dying, right? Not only are people dying, which is bad enough, bro, a huge percentage of the population don't know where they're going to, how they're going to pay their bills.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't know, they don't know how they're going to make ends meet. And you're here on social media showing off and you're short. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But in some respects, it's just, bro, this is the society we live in now, man. This is where we're at as people.
Yeah.
You look at who is idolized.
Yeah.
Look at who people respect. You know? Look at who are the so-called influencers.
Yeah.
You have people who are, I'm talking about brilliant, right? Focused, can take the world in the right direction.
Yes.
Look at their following, nothing. You see a person who's maybe showing his abs or a girl shaking her ass, millions of followers. And you're like, you know, you for the life of me, I cannot understand how this works. The people who are supposed to be influencers aren't, not for lack of trying, but because nobody's listening. And the people who they should be absolutely drowned out, those are the ones who everybody's listening to. Look at our men. Look at our women. Look at who the most famous women are. You're like, I don't want my daughters following this. I don't want that. I don't want that. I'm not taking away from a Cardi B or Kim Kardashian. I'm not taking away from their hustle.
No.
My daughters to idolize that. But guess what? Millions, hundreds of millions of our people, that's what they want to be. And it's just like, it's a never-ending cycle, J-Bell. It's a never-ending cycle because you want progress. You want all these good things to happen. But then most of us are following idiots. Why should we follow somebody who doesn't have the sense, who doesn't have the awareness in this particular time, not to post about wealth and, oh, look at me work. Why would you want to follow that? They will, Jason.
They will. It's sad too, because that lets you know. You think about people you follow, they'll let you know how they really think about you right now.
Yeah.
As being their fan, because they can't hide it, man. Like, awareness. Anyways, I had to get that off my chest.
That was good, man.
I had to get that off my chest. I got a couple questions. Simon sent us some questions because he's a hater. Oh. Nah, he's our guy. I bet Simon will post his house for sure. But first, this is a monumental day. You know why? I'm gonna tell you why.
What's it, April Fool's Day? No, it's not. April. What is today?
I was born on April Fool's Day.
What is the actual day? Because I don't know what day.
Today's the 14th
anymore.
Okay, 14th
what
of April.
Day is it? Is it Monday or Sunday?
I think this is today, a Tuesday,
Sunday?
Right?
Tuesday.
It's this Sunday.
do you know what days? I don't know
I
what
had
the day
to look
is
on
anymore.
My phone, bro.
I don't know what the day phone. Is anymore.
No, they all running crazy. Together. I knew it was Easter, you know, because
Easter's on Sunday. Easter's
yeah, it was
Sunday.
On Sunday. That's why I knew Sunday was just packed.
Oh, I got you.
this was the day we were officially supposed to be eliminated, cut out, removed, thrown away forever for our podcast antics. We were all supposed to be out of a job.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know what, Jason? You know what? I think nobody could have predicted the times we were going to be in.
Nobody
could have predicted those times. None. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask our viewers and our listeners, yourself and Simon, for an extension.
I need it.
Can we push it back at least another, let's say, 2 months? Let me push it back at least 2 months.
Because I will take that.
We have to give not only do we have to give the people what they want, right? Mm-hmm. We have to also, I think, add in a level of reason, you know, to all this madness going on right now, man. We have to give people just a little bit more before we find, but I'm still committed.
Are you still committed? Yeah.
Fully committed to getting kicked off. I'm fully committed. Yeah, it's going to be when we finally go at Boris Johnson. That's going to do it.
When we finally do that, that visa paperwork didn't go through.
That's when we're going to know for sure that it's over. But
oh god,
we'll save it for then. Yeah.
What's we're that?
Supposed to get kicked off today. You're right.
Yeah, this is the day, bro. That's we so made cool. it. Well, we nearly didn't make it. We still got hours left in the day. We got to make it past midnight, bro.
Yeah, you're
right.
Don't
say anything crazy.
I'll try not to.
I shouldn't have told you this. Hashtag
Boris Johnson should not.
Oh, gosh. I shouldn't have said anything.
Theresa May. Theresa May. No, I'm kidding, man.
They might cut that up and then put a highlighter underneath. They'd be like, I didn't even say that, man.
I didn't say nothing.
Don't believe everything. Misinformation. We just talked about this. Hashtag Ask J Bell, Ask Oski. Oski. Oski.
Pretty sure that's
kind of fresh, though.
Oski.
Yeah. Rob Kramer. Kramer. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. He's asked us now that NFL Game Pass is free in the UK until the end of July. Mm-hmm. What are the classic OC and J Bell games we can relive from the archive?
Mm. Classic OC games, there's literally 100 of them. So I'm not exactly sure which one I should point my finger. Towards, if you want to know the absolute truth. We just spoke about one, the Super Bowl.
That Super Bowl.
Matter of fact, just go watch that one. That's all
yeah,
I'm
go
say.
Watch the Super
go
Bowl.
Watch that.
And I don't
2008,
know.
2008, February, I don't know, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 2008, Giants, Patriots, check it out.
When did NFL Game Pass, how far did they go back? That's the question. The question is how far they go back, because the games I played in might not go back that far.
I think they go back to like 2000? No,
really?
2000. I think so.
I would watch for fun the game where the first Texans game versus the Cowboys. It was my first game at the Texans, their first game ever. We played the Cowboys, and I had just got traded from the Cowboys, so I knew nobody on my sideline and knew everybody on the other team's sideline because I had just come. I'd only been in Houston for a week, and I destroyed them on special teams. That's fun to watch. And we won.
No. I'm going to tell them what game they need to watch.
Oh, I know what you're going
to
say.
They need to go watch 2006 New York Giants versus Tennessee Titans in Tennessee, where Jay Bell was born. The movement, the Jay Bell movement. They need to go check that out. Jay Bell was balling that game.
That was a good game, too,
I watched that at home, so I know.
I had none but love from OC and Sam Madison after that. Oh, yeah. You guys were like, Jay Bill, I roll with you.
Yeah. Because, you know, like when you're playing on the same team, like when you actually have a chance to, like, watch somebody play on TV, it's different than, you know, when you're playing with them right next to them. You understand what I mean? So just sitting back watching. It was dope, man. I was like, Jay Bell, you all right with me, man? Yeah. I'll go to war.
Like,
I'll go to war with you,
Jay Bell.
I'll go to war with you.
Man, I appreciate that, man. It was good. We missed you out there, man. My God, that's why we didn't win. Anyways, second. Oh, this is from Scottish man. Welsh. Okay. It's a Welsh name. Is that what you said, Simon?
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Simon's virtual, so I can't talk about his handwriting on this. It actually is clear. Ooh, OC. This is good. I'm actually interested. What are your British cultural favorites from your last few years here? Movies, music, TV? Yeah.
Well, music, Coldplay has always been even when I was in America, Coldplay was one of my favorites. So, you know, I just really recently started to get into grime, so Stormzy and, you know, Dave and all of them as far as music. But, you know, from films, TV, I don't know if you've heard of this show called In the Thick of It. you should check that out. Hilarious. It's about British politicians. It's ridiculous.
Is it funny?
It's so funny, man. It's so funny. You should check it out. The thick of it, man. It's interesting. Interesting.
I need to watch that.
Yeah.
I will say I like the Strictly show.
Yeah, okay.
I like Strictly.
Quite sure you do, Jay Bell.
I like Strictly. I like that. I got some music. TV. So is now Father Ted, is that, where is that? Is that give Simon, give me something.
Never heard of Father Ted before.
Is it Irish? I love Father Ted.
Father Ted is Irish.
Yeah. It's old school, right?
Yeah.
Kind of hilarious. I like that. And you know those
Chemical Brothers?
Chemical Brothers.
Remember the song I played for you? Remember the
Chemical
song
Brothers
I played
are
for
fresh.
You? Doom, 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 doom.
We were
doing
fresh.
The show, wide open.
Yeah.
I kept on playing the song. It was stuck in your head.
Yeah.
You remember? That's Chemical Brothers.
Like, Jamiroquai, you know, is my one of my, I love them. But I do like this guy, Tom Misch, I think is his name. He's kind of like a rapper type thing, but like real smoothed out. And this guy I discovered the other day, Loyal Carter, I think is his name.
Loyal Carter. Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of.
I don't know who none of these people are.
Yeah, they're like chill, low-key, like things. But what, you know, all those Saturday shows they have out here.
Yeah, they do have quite a few.
Like all those funny kind of, all that, that's really cool.
Oh, Killing Eve.
Oh, that's
have you
a
heard
big
of the show Killing Eve?
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
Big show, man. Watch that one. That's a big show. So
Yeah.
See, I mess with England, man.
Yeah,
to the UK.
I'm all about
love
it, bro.
The UK. Yeah,
man, I'm UK all day, man. Yeah.
I'm not going back. I'm not going back to America.
I'm not going back unless you say something crazy about Boris.
Nah, we're not going back, man. We're not going back, man. We're here until there's another vote.
Yeah.
It's another vote.
Oh, you know what my favorite thing though?
Mm-hmm.
Television is. It's these guys, man. You gotta watch them.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
They talk about the NFL.
Yeah.
Man, those guys right there, man.
Incredible.
Check them out. Cool guy. The other guy, he's trying
he's
to
decent.
Be cool.
He's decent. He's okay.
Yeah. It's all right.
I'm with you.
Hey, man.
NFL
show. Let's let the people get back to their lives. Appreciate y'all listening to us, the Jason and OC podcast. We love y'all. Let's keep it real together. Uprise all day.
Two more months. Two more months of this.
Two more months. Done. Let's hold it down.
All right.
Peace.